Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled Western Religious Ideology Has Evaporated. The Biblical Documents Remain. I'm going to be reading this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive women, or undeveloped ones, laden, the classical text reads, silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learned and never able to come to the epignosis or the knowledge of the truth. Now as Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, so do thee also resist the truth. Men of corrupt mind, reprobate, or literally cast away concerning the faith. They shall proceed, no, their folly shall be manifest unto all, or unto all men, as theirs also was. Now, the context of these verses tell us that Paul was not making a general statement about the last days, or what we sometimes call the eschaton. Eschatology in systematic theology is the doctrine of last days. And there's also a subsection called personal eschatology, which refers to the life that is in the physical life on this planet for the future. However, back to our text again, Paul is speaking about aberrant behavior that will take place within the visible church or churches during the last days. Again, this is not a general behavioral consensus that she's referring to, but Paul is laying out what God, or God's Spirit, has told him about the characteristics of the visible church, or what will characterize the visible church during the last days, the type of behavior that will exist. And this is a very curious phenomenon that Paul is addressing, because he is talking about the behavior of those who name the name of Christ, those who profess a relationship with the living and resurrected Christ. It is indeed amazing when one thinks about it to realize that in the West, the theology has not so much been biblical as it has been philosophical. Psychological. And for a short period of time, there was this battle between, there was this wedding of theology and psychology and secular. And it is interesting to note what has taken place since that's instance, and where it has been. They should have been, will not go into that. But let me say at this point, there has been a repudiation of the sacred text by Western religious theology. Western religious theology believed that one could wed civil religion and also say that one represents God as well, that God is part of civil religion. Well, Western religious ideology is merely civil religion, a smattering of religion or religious behavior, and nothing more than that. So that one could have some mere adjusted advice through sermonic speeches. And so that used Word of God, or partly derived from the Word of God. And this idea of going down this road and being involved in religion without understanding or appreciating the real meaning, which has to do with a brand new life. A life that is qualitatively new, ever to remain so. If anyone in Christ, he or she is new creation. Genesis, new creation. In the Greek, old things, that is, the old, worn out, the things past, are gone. And I love the scriptural language, the old, worn out, dilapidated things that are frayed, that are no longer productive. And notice he's talking about moving, or the individual that has moved out from Thanatos or death into Zoe or life. This is the old. Old things are passed away. They are no more. Behold, all things are qualitatively new. There is that hiatus. There is that antithesis. However, there are those who have come along and believe that we can no longer believe an apostolic antithesis of the Word of God, and they said we will move along to dialectic. So they were seduced by dialectic. So we have dialectic, thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. And this is what this is where or what they wanted in theology. Synthesis. We can have it all. And we can mesh and we can drive the elements of Scripture, or we can take out those things we wanted of Scripture and leave behind what we did not want. But what the dialectical individuals fail to understand is that Scripture is an organic whole. Scripture is organic. Scripture is organic. And one cannot compromise the fabric of Scripture. Now, one may do so, but very poor and unfortunate results. Jesus himself said, "Heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away. Heaven and earth pass away. My words will never pass away." In Hebrews 1, we read that Jesus himself is upholding the world through the word of his power. He is upholding the world. It is through him that the so-called laws of science are who wrote the creator. His eyes run to and fro, behold, what humankind doing throughout the planet which does not belong to them. Notice what Paul writes. This know also that in the last days, perilous times will come. And so the word here, notice what he says, the word perilous means dangerous times, dangerous times. And from his viewpoint, that is first century A.D., he says, shall come. So he means the future middle. For men shall be lovers of themselves. And here's the beginning of great so selfishness is the first of these very unfortunate that Paul comments. For men shall be lovers of their own. So pathological narcissism will take. Notice he is talking about, and then notice once again he's speaking about this whole church. So men will and it is from this foundation of selfishness, and all of these other behaviors derive or come about. Next, he writes covetous, and that is fond of silver or money. Boasters is next, being puffed up about the thing which he or she does not possess. Boasters. He is indeed speaking about very, very shallow and inept individuals. And this is the reality. He goes on, blasphemers. And blasphemers are those who speak derisively about both God, the person of God, and men. Blasphemers. Those who, according to Psalm 7, say that our tongues are our own. And in the book of James, he talks about the tongue as being a small member, yet it sets on fire the course of hell. One of the gravest sins of the Old Testament is slander. In the Hebrew, it means to bend against the life of the man. In other words, in the Old Testament, slander means to murder an individual with one's tongue. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said that hate, false hate, are murderous. Very different, is it not? First John teaches that no one who hates his brother, adelphos, the word for brother in Greek is adelphos, it means one of the same womb. And John writes that no person who hates his brother has eternal life. Scripture is very emphatic about this reality. Slander, hate, these are infamous. But name the name of Christ. So after blasphemers, he writes, disobedient to parents. Very interesting when one considers that is from being lovers of themselves that whole discussion takes place. And so Western religious ideology allowed us children to watch cartoonized versions, some of them were, of the scripture as vegetables. And then the individuals who created that series later on said, the individual who created it, that the only thing we did was to create all pagans. And for years, I was criticized because I told myself, this is not good that you shouldn't allow your children to sit under this stuff. Biblical. This has nothing to do with the Word of God. But years and years later, the Creator has confessed. It is interesting that this individual confessed. It's also interesting that some of the foremost proponents of this Bible attack therapy as a change of mind. The Word of God is eternal. The Word of God is eternal. The 19th century search for the historical Jesus ended in defeat of liberal so-called liberal scholarship because of the mainly the Dead Sea Scrolls. And it is always interesting that in church history, some individual with new pseudo-enlightenment, a new pseudo-argument comes along, and they will always come along. For instance, there's one book called No Jesus of God. No Jesus of God. And so this person published an article. I read the article. I contacted. And I said, you really need to spend some time studying the results of 19th century scholarship and what we have learned from that time and from the Dead Sea Scrolls. And he said, I should read his book because he summarizes all of that different. Now, it is amazing to me that the I am amazed by the intellectual short sight. And the attempt to, they may have a definition for religion, because this has been, this is what these individuals wanted, a religion. And there is this failure to understand that the scripture teaches an organic relationship with Jesus Christ. You and me and I and you. Simple and profound language of the Gospel of John. A language that is not found in the synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Synoptic means in together. The Gospel of John is a whole other world. In the prologue of the Gospel of John, verses 1 through 18 of chapter 5, he tells us his summary of this one, this Logos. The word Logos means thought, and Jesus Christ is Logos. So, and John writes in chapter 1 that this one pitched a tent among them. The tent, of course, was the veil of flesh. Paul goes on. It shall be disobedience. This is a very, very, a very serious fact. Very serious and very tragic. So they should be unthankful. Unthankful. Versus they believe that they are deserved of the blessing that's around them. We have to realize that there is a disconnect from the past, and that person does not know history. And most certainly, what person does not know Western Church history. There's a disconnect present, and then there's most certainly a disconnect future person that's connected yes. From themselves. So there is an assumption that Paul speaks about here. They are unthankful. People don't know how to be thankful. Unholy. That word literally means wicked. Wicked. Without natural affection. Let me go on. They should be lovely themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. And this is reminiscent of Romans 1:31. And here in this word, this particular word means no family, no love of family. No love of family. Now, once again, we're talking about church and what goes on in the church. Truth breakers, that is no reconciliation. These persons are at war with themselves and false accusers, the Avalos. So the Avalos means true, which from the root cast, a ballow, or which means cast. So false accusers divide people. These are individuals who are so incompetent, with powers of unstable by traitors. This word means surrender. A means harsh, rash, high-minded. The word here means smoke. It symbolizes pride. Lovers of pleasure. They are humans more than lovers of hedonistic, self-serving. Having a form of God. Well, what led to this in the Western Church? It was repudiation of the Word of God for real. The real repudiation, refusal to hear the Word of God, because the Word of God does away with soul religion. There's no place for it in Scripture. So let's give people a smattering of religion. Let's not tell them the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Let's keep the truth from them. And so it was pointed out in Romans 1 that there would be individuals who would suppress the truth. In Romans 1, verse 18, Paul writes, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and against all ungodliness, not just so-called secular ungodliness, but against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in righteousness." Very interesting language, is it not? Very powerful language, is it not? Who hold that word hold means to seize, means to hold and have. Now, this is, so we see in the last days, we see planned manipulation. We see demonic manipulation. And here are the tragic results. Jesus himself said that men loved darkness. The word there for love is the word that he uses in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave the cast sight. The word there for love is darkness. And Jesus said, when this text tells us further, that men love darkness with light, evil, that's what? This is the word derived from agape. Is derived from agape. And love is scotia. Darkness. Their deeds, their doing, their behavior, their practice were evil. Jesus said in very simple prose, "Love one another as I have loved you." Love one another as I have loved you. Commandment, not my suggestion. Love one another, and it is stated in the imperative. Love one another. This is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. And it has nothing to do with self-esteem. This has to do with the love of God that has been sown part of the individual through the power of the Spirit. We are called to supernatural living. We are called to live supernatural lives. It is wonderful that Western religious ideology has evaporated. And let me say this morning, let's get back to the biblical documents. The biblical documents remain. The Word of God is near us. We have copies of the Scriptures. Let us study the Word of God and begin anew. Let's lay a new foundation for ourselves and for our brethren and for our brothers and sisters in the world. God bless you today and have a wonderful day. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich.